Peace be with you.
And also with you.
Thank you for remembering the ancient blessing. I am the one known as Joseph, earthly father to one, Yeshua. Bless him. And he was a most wonderful blessing and still is as he shares his love with you. It was my honor, my challenge, to be earthly father to him. Yes, those of you who are parents, you know how the little ones are blessings, and then they are also can be challenges as well. But in truth, as you have grown yourselves in wisdom and in allowance, you have seen that the blessings outweigh all of the challenges and the certain stretching of the parental understanding of the small ones, because they will push out the boundaries. They will make you have to look again at what you have thought to be the way to go. And Yeshua was no different in some small ways as small one than all other small ones. He had, and still does, a great curiosity, wanting to know a lot of the questions of why and how. And there were times when he would be, and he tells this story on himself, jealous of his cousin John, as you know, the Baptist, who was 9 months older than he and of a different body type, strong and quite solid. And Yeshua was, in his maturity, he was tall and strong, but a bit more willowy. But his cousin could run faster, climb a tree faster, swim faster, because he was a bit older and of more athletic body type. So there were times when Yeshua got into the human judgment of, I am not quite as good as, I cannot run quite as fast, I cannot climb the tree quite as fast, and judging himself and getting into a vortex of the energy that was not quite happy. And my advice to him, and same to you as well, if you were ever feeling quite closed in and angry about something, and your aura shows the red going out because you're angry at something, to go and
sit by flowing water.
And to watch the water, it judges not. It comes to a rock, and it either goes around or up and over, but it doesn't stand there and stew about the fact that there's a rock in front of it. It floats. And to allow yourself to come to a place, as you watch the flowing water, to come to a place of peace within yourself, to know that truly you are flowing through your life, experiencing and expressing with no judgment, no judgment of self, no judgment of others. Because in truth, a life is an expression of the light, but it is not a competitive of having to be a brighter light or a smarter light or a more turned on light. There is not a competition. So as he would sit by flowing water and come to a place of peace, there would be an understanding that everyone who expresses in this physical form has talents and abilities, each one individualized in their own way, each one beautiful, each one expressing the God self. But there were times that I had to remind him of this. He worked with me in the carpentry shop that we had. He helped to build some of the tables and chairs and stools that ones would sit on, and to get the legs of the stool in the right place so that when one would sit on it, you did not fall over. There's a bit of technique there. And it took a couple of tries for him to know the balance of where the legs would go. Same thing with the table, as to get it so that it wouldn't rock back and forth, get the legs at the same height. So there was a bit of learning of technique and of measurement as well. And he was a very quick study, but there were times when his tables went a little strange and needed a bit of the equalizing underneath. We had a couple of times we had the table that started out at arm's length and ended up being a bit of a smaller table, but that was okay. It was a learning experience. And yes, he did know a few choice expressions, which he used from time to time. He would not, well, he might tell you that. I will tell you that. But yes, he helped me in the carpentry shop and learned how to put together the wood and how to speak with the wood, how to sit with a piece of wood and ask of it, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be? How do you want to be? Especially with the ones that we carved, because some of the tables and the chairs that we made were not just of useful appearance, but they were beautiful works of art because we did some of the carving across the back or across around the sides of the table as well. And so I have shared with you in previous times how you would go to the place of oneness and you would ask of the wood and of the tree that it was before the wood, how do you want to be fashioned? And the most wonderful language is the imagery that happens within the mind. Because as you will sit and contemplate and ask and then be silent, the wood will speak to you and you will see within the, what is called the mind's eye up here, you will see how the carving can be. Whether it is just straight up and down, or whether it has the curls into it, or whether it will go around a corner, etc. When this first happens, it is most amazing. You know this from some of the plantings that you do. You know this from some of the trees that you have hugged. And there has been a knowing of oneness as the tree is growing. Oftentimes you have seen me when I have come and visited with you, you have seen me go and feel the wood and to feel whether it is happy or not. And for the most part, the furniture, let me see how it feels. There has been much of happiness in this room, much of celebration, yes. You see, every living thing, and this is still, the wood is still living. Even though it has been changed in form, it is still living. There is still vibration. It will tell you a history, a story of who sat upon this most recently and whether they were happy or whether they were wondering what is going to be happening. Ah, now this poor table. It needs some attention. It has a bit of what you call the small, well, there's some big scratches. You will recommend to your caretakers that they do a bit of the polishing, at least polishing. Good heavens. Ah, well. Oh, there's another spot. Ha. Huh. Okay, let's see how the table feels about it. Well, the table doesn't care. Okay. No judgment then. No problem. Most interesting. This one is happy. This one too. You see, as you will use the furniture, it takes from you your vibration. Because everything is energy. Everything is vibration. And so when you sit upon a chair, it is going to absorb the temporary at least passing energy. Everything in truth is alive. Even if you say, well, the poor tree is dead, it's been chopped up and et cetera, et cetera. No, it is still vibrating. This one especially is vibrating. But all of them. And then when you sit and you put your energy into it, after you get up, you have had other ones tell you this, you leave a certain imprint of your energy sitting there, vibrational. So it behooves you to be happy. But it is okay if it is temporarily a thing you are working through. The wood does not hold grievances, does not hold judgment. Vibration, yes, it holds, and then the humans come along and interpret, as I have just done. But in truth, the wood has the vibration. I have given to you my interpretation of it. But the point that I'm making is everything is alive. And if you sit quietly with anything, it will tell you a story. So try that on your morrow. When you get up and you are going through your morning meditation, allow yourself to perhaps feel the bedstead, the form of the bed, and ask of it, how was the previous night's sleep? It will tell you. It will say, well, he was really restless, and he tossed and he turned, and I thought, whatever. It will tell you a story. Many stories. I jest. What is important in this evening is to realize, to come to that place of knowing the reality, capital R, of every living thing, and everything truly is alive. It vibrates. It is alive. To come to that place of melding your knowing with the knowing of what seems to be already finished, dead and gone. It's not ever. It may not move much, but it does vibrate. All of the crystalline energy that is so beautiful has great vibration. This on the morrow you are going to be feeling with one who is an expert from several lifetimes, where you have studied and been attracted to the crystalline energy, and you have shared many lifetimes where you have been the wise one who shared with others. As I have been sharing about the vibration of the wood, you have shared the vibration of the crystals and how each crystal, different types, different formations, have their own language. And you can feel it and you can interpret it, which you have done several lifetimes, where you have been the, what do they call, the gemologist? Well, we will make up a new word. Yes. Most wondrous, the way they capture the light and shine your light back at you. You have a saying like that, back at you, okay? That is what the, yes, that is what the crystals do. They reflect back to you that which you are, the light that you are. So on the morrow, you are going to play with some of the vibrational languages, because each crystalline object has its own language, the same as the trees, the same as the wood. And when you will be centered within yourself, not judgmental, not putting out all kinds of energy, but just centered and hold the crystal and allow it to speak to you, there will be a message. You quiet the mind, because the mind is going to look at it and say, oh, well, it has certain form, it has certain color, I wonder where it was before I'm holding it, etc. That's the human mind. Let it do its thing, and then let it become quiet, and ask what the crystal will share with you. Be quiet and just breathe. Breathe the energy of the crystal. And it will tell you. It will give you a picture, imagery, of where it has come from, how it is interpreting the energy that it is. Everything that you have created is alive. Wow. Well, I can see the brothers and sisters, they're alive. I can see the four-footed ones, they're alive. I see the winged ones, they're definitely alive. But you say that the chair is alive? Yes. Your technology has come to a place where the vibrational frequency of something that seems to be solid can be measured. Same thing with the crystals. Same thing with everything that is seemingly inanimate. Seemingly. And as you attune yourself, that is the important part, you will feel, know, and also have a language, a common language, where I will see you getting quite excited about it with an aha. Aha! I didn't know that could be. Same thing for me. When I was a small one, I would pick up a rock or I would see the trees and I would think, oh, it's a beautiful tree out there. The way it is moving and swaying with the breeze. Then I went closer to it. I like to climb trees. Get a beautiful view. The tree spoke to me. And what the first one said to me was, take your dirty foot off of me. Oh, well. It did not stop me from climbing trees. It did not stop me from taking the wood that was already cut and making it into a beautiful object. Know you that you can take a part of the trunk of a tree, say one perhaps this size, and you can carve the outside into a round bit at the bottom, and you can carve out the inside. And if you are very good, you can carve a certain handle on the side. Takes a bit of practice. The first few handles I did fell off. But I said, well, I have two hands. I can hold it this way. Okay. But there is a certain development that comes, a certain sensitivity. You know this well from working with the beautiful beads. As you hold a certain bead in the hand, there is a language. And it may not be the spoken type language, but a knowing that you feel. Same for all of you as you work with even something within your home. And there, if you take the time for it, I have noticed that sometimes you rush through the quote, daily chores. Allow yourself to slow down, to be in tune, to feel the vibration of the furniture. Now, I know sometimes you get tired and you just plop. Okay. But after you have rested for a short time, begin to feel what's the message as you are sitting there. Because every part of your body has receptors. So if you have the rear sitting somewhere, be in tune. Ask of the chair that you are sitting on, who was the last person who sat on this chair and what were they like? And were they happy? And the chair will say to you, it's none of your business. not true.
But, well, at least you heard.
Well, that part is true. Yes. There is a language, a universal language, that is understood in sensitivity. That is my message to you in this evening. To be happy with your surroundings. To be at one with your surroundings. Know that truly everything that you create has a life of its own and a language that will speak to you. One said to me when I was small and becoming quite enamored with the vibration of wood, he said, well, how can you be caring about something that is dead? It was cut a long time ago. And I said, but if you listen, if you're really asking of it and truly wanting to know, there will be a message in it for you. Do not rush through life. That is my message to you this evening. When you are working with a certain texture of cloth, it will speak to you. It will tell you where to cut and where not to cut. It will tell you how it wants to be fashioned. There's a certain sensitivity that you develop. Perhaps not right away, but as there will be desire. I do like that word, and I will go off on a tangent here for half a minute. Desire is of the Father. D-E, of, S-I-R-E, sire, of the Father. Just a small little piece of, you know that one already, of the Father. So, that is my message to you in this evening. I appreciate your attention. I appreciate your allowing me to speak, because one earthly father of Yeshua does not often get a chance to speak. I am what you would call an also mention in the Bible. When they run the credits, I am an also mention. But I would have you know that every fertilization, I guess you can call it, is divine. And yes, I was earthly father to one Yeshua. I know you have stories that say that it was virgin birth. I knew Mary, Mother Mary, as you call her, loved her and still do very greatly. And yes, we joined. And yes, Yeshua came forth. Your holy book writes me out. Peace be with you. Thank you. He is so happy. I can feel his energy. It's vibrating and dancing. It's like, oh, I got to tell my story. Because he does say to me from time to time, you know, I'd like to get out and say something. And quite often it is Jeshua, of course, who speaks. But once in a while, we get Father Joseph.